Thank you for joining us for the 11th annual State of the City. I would like to introduce one of our presenting sponsors and first vice chair of our board, Bill McFadden from NewsHawk, to introduce the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you, Hallie. NewsHawk is proud to be a member of the Goleta Chamber of Commerce. In fact, we joined the chamber before we launched in 2007, and we've been participating in the Goleta State of the City luncheon every year since. As NewsHawk's founder and publisher, I was asked to give you a quick update on Santa Barbara County's number one source for online local news. They're right here. For some reason, 2018 has been exhausting for us. But it's also been very, very rewarding. In our first quarter, our traffic was up at our website nearly 50% from last year. We averaged 21,000 plus readers a day, which I'm quite confident is unmatched by any fossil media newspaper around here. As far as some of the projects we're working on, if you think there are challenges or frustrations in Goleta, visit downtown Santa Barbara sometime. Last fall, we started our Reimagine Santa Barbara project focused on the conditions affecting State Street, but with an intention of involving the community in coming up with potential solutions. That all went sideways for us in December, but we're in the process of restarting the project with an expanded look at the overall conditions across the entire South Coast in the aftermath of the Thomas Fire and the Montecito disasters. We're also in the early planning stages for an innovative, far-reaching community engagement project in Montecito. I'm not prepared to give you details right now, but you'll be hearing more about that in the next couple of weeks. Meanwhile, there's plenty of news to cover in the Goleta Valley, and like you, I'm looking forward to hearing from our Goleta officials in just a few moments. But first, I want to invite to the stage our current Goleta's Finest Student of the Year to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Please welcome Dos Pueblos High School senior, Lupi Simone.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may be seated.
Thank you, Lupe. On behalf of the Board of Directors of the Goleta Chamber of Commerce, I would like to thank you all for being here today at our 11th annual State of the City. We are grateful for our continued partnership with the City of Goleta, and we are pleased to bring the business community this presentation. This has become one of the Chamber's signature events with over 400 people today in attendance. Let's give you all a round of applause for being here. We thank you all for joining us and for being a part of this very important event. It is now my great pleasure to introduce Kristen Miller, President and CEO of the Goleta Chamber of Commerce.
Thank you. It is so wonderful to see you all here today on such an important event. Goleta is truly the good land, and each year we celebrate this amazing community. But this year feels especially poignant after the unprecedented events in December and January with the natural disasters and loss of life in our neighboring community of Montecito. As we look ahead and move forward, we appreciate our first responders, our friends, our neighbors, who all came together to make Goleta's future shine bright. Goleta enjoys the unique benefit of being a coastal community with a thriving industrial core. Innovative businesses are growing exciting new products and providing meaningful jobs. It all comes together with local government to ensure our community runs smoothly. We so appreciate our positive relationship with the City of Goleta and the collaboration on this, our 11th annual State of the City. Now, as you know, great events like this in such a beautiful location would not be possible without the support of our sponsors. And we're extremely thankful for the continued and growing support from our business community. I'm going to start today by thanking and introducing our presenting sponsors to share a few words with you. It is my pleasure to introduce to you Roberto Van Gienen, General Manager of the Ritz-Carlton Bacara.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Ritz-Carlton Bacara. We are thrilled to be in this wonderful area. Not many of you may know, but the Ritz-Carlton goes back about 120 years. Ever since we opened our very first hotel, the Ritz in Paris, our company has been pursuing excellence. Our founder, Cesar Ritz, partnered with Auguste Escoffier, one of the finest chefs that has ever lived. And our company is on a wonderful journey. We hold on to the things that made us great, but yet we evolve to make sure that we are relevant in today's environment. And we have done the same with this wonderful resort. We have worked on the strength of the team that was here, and we've added to it where we needed to. For example, the chef at our signature restaurant, Angel Oak, Alex Bollinger, is a wonderful chef. Hopefully some of you have enjoyed his cuisine. He's worked all around the country in some of the finest restaurants, yet he is from Santa Barbara. And we have added a long list of wonderful chefs that have many years of Ritz-Carlton experience from around the world, including our executive chef who's here with us today. We've also recently added our new pastry chef, Jan Bigot, who worked in a three-star Guy Michelin restaurant in Burgundy in France, had his own pastry shop, had his own bakery, and was teaching at the French Pastry School in Chicago before he joined us. So it's great to see that amazing talent and to mix it with the amazing team that was here before. We hope to see you here at the resort often for any reason or no reason at all. Come and see us for a glass of wine after work or for a big family celebration. Enjoy your afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Roberto. I'd now like to introduce Trevor Large of Beineck Favre Archibald Spray.
Thank you. I'm privileged and glad to get an opportunity to speak. I want to thank Kristen and the Goleta Chamber for giving me a little bit of time up here and really thank them for being a leading voice for Goleta. The last 6 months have been challenging in a lot of ways for this community, but the good news is that we're rebounding, and we should be proud of how we've come together and how we've supported each other. And in some ways, I feel like we've come out the other side of this stronger and maybe a little closer and tighter knit than we were once before all this happened. And now, hopefully, it feels like it's time to start looking forward again. And in Goleta, there's a lot of reason for excitement. We have an invigorating stream of new residents and new businesses that are looking to call Goleta home. And planning and crafting and managing that growth is an ongoing process. And it's hopefully the role that all of you in this room will participate in as we decide what we're going to continue to do and what we're going to look like in the future. And hopefully some of the increased spirit of community that we've found over these last 6 months will help us come together to create a unified vision. For us, the attorneys at Beineck, Favre, Archibald, and Spray, we're glad to be part of the conversation, and we want to help our clients in this community achieve the brightest future it can have. And again, thank you for giving me a little bit of your time today, and enjoy your lunch.
Thank you, Trevor. It's my pleasure to introduce Derek Hansen of the Tobes Group.
Good afternoon. The Tobes Group is obviously proud and honored to be a part of the Chamber and this great community called Goleta. Congratulations to the council, to the mayor, to the city, to all those involved with making this a vibrant community, excuse me, that we all enjoy. Essentially, the Tobes Group is a little bit like the city in reevaluating itself at this one-year marker. As many of you are aware of, we're at that point where Mr. Tobes' passing was approximately a year ago, and we find ourselves at a dawn of a new day a bit. His leadership, his candor, his smile is surely missed, but I must add that Craig Zimmerman has done an exceptional job with leadership and getting us through this difficult year. I guess your first question is, where is Craig? Who's Derek, and why is he up here talking to us? Craig is, as the wonderful parent that he and Amy are, they are taking care of their daughter Maisie in her study abroad program. Now, we shouldn't feel too sorry for Craig. He is sending us photographs from South America, Patagonia in particular, with a heavy beard, which you'd enjoy seeing, and essentially enjoying himself there. But coming back to the Tobes Group, you know, over the course of this year, we have continued to build on the legacy that Mr. Tobes provided for us. We find ourselves in new and exciting positions. We still have all of those old things that make us great. Our philanthropy, our Give Where You Live program is still in place. Many of you heard about that. Our employee grant committee is still actively looking for volunteer opportunities for our employees and partnering with nonprofits. We are exceptionally pleased and very happy with the way the commercial leasing is going, the residential leasing in our communities. Our residential communities were recently honored by the Pacific Oaks Business Times as the number 3 by volume property management firm. We're very pleased and honored to be included in that. We are completing Villa del Sol, an active senior community up in the Santa Maria area. So I think you can see that the Tobes Group has been and will continue to be a very active part of the community and part of this area. I do have to put in one more plug for a process that you may not be familiar with, rather. It is called Development Select. Now, Development Select is essentially based on 60 years of building experience and how we can bring that experience to you. The Development Select process is very simple. Go to our website, click on it. You'll find out the services that we can provide to you and the things that we, you know, enjoy doing. As another plug for part of that, the construction group, and that's the part of the company that I manage, was named the number 1 contractor by the Pacific Coast Business Times by volume. So we're very pleased and very poised to take advantage of all the opportunities and the future that is in front of us. Thank you.
And lastly, I'd like to introduce George Lease of Montecito Bank and Trust.
Thank you, everybody. As president of Montecito Bank and Trust, I have the honor of speaking with you all today. And I have to tell you, it's a real pleasure to be here. You know, I go to a lot of these events, and this one is always an amazing, outstanding event. And it's an outstanding event because of the leadership that is in the room today. It is what makes Goleta so unique. I'm not sure if you know this, but Montecito Bank and Trust has about 200 associates who every single day strive to provide exceptional customer service from everything from basic checking account to the most complex loans and investments. It's because of their tireless efforts that Montecito Bank and Trust was voted one of the best places to work this year at Pacific Coast Business Times inaugural survey. I'd like to introduce a couple of our team members. My table, please stand up. We have Maeve Willis, who is our branch manager here in Goleta. I have Ben Scott, Ben, and Ambia from our commercial banking group, Ambia McLaughlin. Alan Acosta, our business client advisor. Vanessa McCreary, our business treasury management group. And our newest hire, Tom Fisher, who joined our wealth management division. Tom, welcome aboard. You guys know that Montecito Bank and Trust remains the largest locally owned community bank in the Central Coast. Our chairman and CEO, Janet Garufas, who sends her regards, she's in Palm Springs today, along with our entire executive management team, are committed to continuing the legacy and vision that our bank was founded on under Mike Tobes' leadership 43 years ago. It's been a year since his passing, but he'd be proud to know a couple of these interesting facts. We had a 20% growth in income this year. We are opening our 11th branch in the Mesa. We're opening our 12th branch at Casa Dorinda. We're opening our 13th location right here in Goleta at the Maravilla Senior Living Center. We've received 14 Best Bank Awards, including the Bank of the Year by the Western Independent Bankers, which look at banks across the Western states. We continue to donate $1.4 million annually to nonprofit communities, and in 2017, our associates volunteered over 5,200 hours and are serving at least almost 500 organizations, giving their financial expertise to the nonprofit community. Because we believe behind every great community is a great bank, we'll continue to put our resources into making our communities we serve better places to live and work, just like Mike Tobes told us to do 43 years ago. Kristen, thank you so much for letting me speak. Have a great State of the City.
Thank you, George. And thank you again to all our presenting sponsors, including Cox, who you will hear from later. Our corporate sponsors are City Ventures, Deckers Brands, ExxonMobil, FLIR Commercial Vision Systems, Goleta Valley Cottage Hospital, Marburg Industries, Rabobank, Sansom Clinic, Santa Barbara City College Foundation, Southern California Edison, and Village Properties. Thank you so much to all of these businesses. These are the supporters of your Chamber of Commerce and the community. I'm super proud of this list, including American Riviera Bank, Brown & Brown Insurance, Brownstein Hyatt Farber Schreck, Cabrillo Business Park, Camino Real Marketplace, Community West Bank, Courtyard Marriott and Santa Barbara Goleta, Hollister Village, Impulse Advanced Communications, Carl Stores, Latitude 34 Technologies, Pacific Premier Bank, Residence Inn Santa Barbara Goleta, Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara Metropolitan Transit District, Signature Flight Support, Spherion Staffing Services, UCSB, and Visit Santa Barbara. Now that's a list. Special thank you to Five Star Audio Visual, J. Farbman Photography, Synergy Computing, Anna's Bakery, and Printing Impressions. We are delighted to have so many elected officials with us here today to hear about Goleta. From, of course, our city of Goleta, the mayor, Paula Perotti. Mayor Pro Tem, Stuart Kasdan. Councilmember Roger Aceves, almost. Councilmember Michael Bennett. And Councilmember Kyle Richards. Our assembly member, Monique Lamont, is here. Third District Supervisor, Joan Hartman. From the City of Santa Barbara, Councilman Greg Hart. Santa Barbara County Sheriff, Bill Brown. Our County Clerk, Recorder, and Assessor, Joe Holland. From Second District County Supervisor, Janet Wolf's office, Naomi Kovacs. Goleta Union School District Trustee, Susan Epstein. And from the Goleta West Sanitary District, Eva Turenchalk. Thank you all so very much.
Thank you, Kristen. It is now my great pleasure to introduce Goleta Mayor Paula Perotti to give the State of the City address.
I guess I was so excited to get up here and tell you all the exciting things. I came up a little early, so thank you, Hallie, and thank you to the Goleta Chamber of Commerce for offering me the opportunity to provide Goleta State of the City. It is my honor, duty, and extreme pleasure to say that the State of the City of Goleta is strong. I'd even say vibrant, vigorous, and vivacious. I'm going to quickly provide some key indicators that this is truly the good land and that we are on a positive upward trajectory. I want to leave enough time for our city manager, Michelle Green, and planning director, Peter Imhoff, to provide some additional exciting details. One of the primary missions of government is to assure the safety of the public. And by all accounts, we are fulfilling that mission quite well. The city of Goleta started off 2018 by being recognized on the National Council list of safest cities in California, the safest in Santa Barbara County. As we welcome Goleta's incoming police chief, Sheriff Lieutenant Grossini, we thank our former chief, Lieutenant Kevin Huddle, for his service. To add to the fire safety in growing West Goleta, our Fire Station 10 is in the environmental review stage, and staff is working hard to start construction as soon as we have a permit from the California Coastal Commission, which may take some time. When we think of public safety, we also think of our roads, sidewalks, and bike lanes. Things our public works has been working very busy with. We have completed $3.9 million of paving projects and expect to do more next year. We completed the Hollister Class 1 multi-purpose path near Elwood School, which received the American Society of Civil Engineers Award. We completed Ward Drive Class 2 bike lanes. And there are many, many improvements underway in Old Town. We completed a hawk signal at the community center that earned American Public Works Association Award. This is a pedestrian-activated signal to increase pedestrian safety. Public Works has ambitious plans for hawk signals at Hollister and Chapel near the hospital, also Cai Real and Kingston. Magnolia sidewalk improvements have been completed. We also have an ongoing efforts for Hollister. The Complete Streets program will make Old Town streets safer for all travel modes and improve the quality of life by making it more appealing to walk, bike, drive, shop, and dine there. Old Town sidewalk projects will construct sidewalks on at least one side of all residential streets. And the pedestrian bicycle master plan that is nearing completion aims to expand and improve the walking and cycling network in the city, making it safer and easier to walk and bike. Another way to reduce traffic and to promote safety is to get cars off the road by using the new peak hour rail services at the Goleta Depot. This is expected to help hundreds of Ventura, Oxnard, and Carpinteria commuters get here by train while also freeing up the roads. Now moving on to Planning and Environmental Review Department, they've also been very busy. We received a 3-star community rating for national leadership in sustainability. This reflects our city's progress in these efforts. We resolved to have 100% renewable energy for all city-owned facilities by 2030. Also in planning, our new director and his team have ambitious plans to finish up many projects, as you will hear from him shortly. A historical preservation context statement has been circulating and will form the foundation for a historical preservation section of our coming zoning ordinance. This will preserve Goleta's historical resources. Our new zoning code will align our zoning with our general plan. An Elwood Mesa Habitat Management Plan will protect the Elwood Mesa Butterfly Preserve and ensure public safety. A cannabis ordinance will tailor Goleta's cannabis growing, processing, and sales of cannabis to new state laws legalizing them. Goleta's new granny units, ADU, ordinance will tailor Goleta's needs to California's new laws in this area. The electronic permit tracking system will modernize the existing paper system for more efficient and effective staff and public access. Moving on to finance, I don't want to steal Michelle Green's thunder, except to say that our finances are strong, with record high reserves that should get us through virtually any emergency or downturn. Neighborhood service and recreation, we have several growing opportunities. We have plans to break ground this year on Old Town Hollister Kellogg Park, long delayed by fighting with the state for ownership. We will be working on addressing needs in four parks, Berkeley, Andamar, Winchester 1 and 2. We will be working with local contractors to upgrade the play equipment later this year. And we will be kicking off a parks master plan. We also added permanent pickleball courts at Evergreen Open Space. And later this year, the Monarch the Monarch Moves program will provide an alternative education experience for Evergreen Park for students to learn more about monarch butterflies and highlight this jewel in our community. Negotiations are ongoing as we seek to acquire more Elwood Mesa open space parcels to add to the preserve. And finally, we are on a path to take over management of the Goleta Library starting July 1st of this year. We expect to improve library services while lowering our overall library costs. Staff deserves our thanks for all these achievements, especially in light of this year's challenges. We learned that the trees in Elwood Mesa are stressed by the drought and resulting disease, posing potential hazards. While a habitat management study is underway, we have closed some trails, but preserved access to the ocean, and we've only removed about 28 trees. The Thomas Fire, Whittier Fire, and Ray Fire affected our entire community in tragic ways. In Goleta, these impacts included the closure of 101 and the threat of flooding in Western Goleta. We got through these due to the significant efforts of our staff, Community Emergency Response Team, and Litos volunteers. We recently honored and recognized 48 Whittier Fire Montecito mudslide volunteers from our area who put in over 1,000 hours in disaster relief. We recognize that many challenges and opportunities lie ahead. We are dealing with the impacts of new developments here and at UCSB, especially water and traffic. There is pending litigation that we hope will be favorably and amicably resolved. The Elwood Tree Habitat Management Plan will give us a game plan for what we need to do, but implementing it will pose some fiscal and environmental challenges. But we are committed to moving forward to protect the butterfly habitat and provide safe access to the entire Elwood Mesa. Some new staff is still getting settled, and we are looking forward to a new Public Works Director starting at the end of this month. Environmental challenges always loom, such as monitoring and stopping hydrogen sulfide emissions and dealing with possible oil drilling and transportation. The decommissioning of Venico's Elwood Onshore Facility and piers off Haskell's Beach looms and will need our attention. But I can assure you, we are committed to facing all such challenges head on. Now I want to provide some thoughts on how we can build on our successes and rise to our challenges. As you know, having exceptional personnel is a key part of what we need in order to accomplish our goals. We're thrilled for the first time in a long time, we are almost fully staffed. Carmen Nichols joined as our deputy city manager last August. Luke Rio was officially named our finance director in August. Michael Jenkins has been officially named as our city attorney, joining deputy city attorney Winnie Kai. Peter Imhoff joined us in August with our director of planning and environmental review. and Allison Gray joined our city as Goleta's first library director. And as I mentioned, we will soon have a director of public works on board. We have filled a number of staff positions, bringing us closer to full strength. In addition, after 18 months in office, council members Kasdan and Richards are adding their new ideas and energy to those of our other council members' long experience. This team positions us to turn the page for a new and even brighter future. At this time, I'd like to just take a moment now to have our staff that are here today, if you would all stand and be recognized. Thank you. Some of you may know that before I was elected to City Council, I was very active in the Parent Teacher Association, the PTA. I focused on safe routes to schools, successfully lobbying for reduced speeds around schools, because we know speed kills. Our motto for keeping children safe was stop, look, and listen. And I've been thinking that stop, look, and listen would be a great mantra for Goleta in the coming years. Stop. We've added over 1,000 new housing units in Goleta in just a few years. Many supported such housing to keep our local employers recruit workers. But new housing units alone do not attract and help workers. Potential recruits, new workers, and current residents expect and deserve the high quality of life Goleta has offered, especially key services. It's now time to stop and deal with the impacts of recent and cumulative growth. We need to make sure that we can provide key services such as road capacity, water, libraries, parking, recreation, and safe pedestrian and bicycling options for all our residents. Please note very carefully, I'm not saying that we can or should stop all growth. I think we can all agree our residents want carefully managed, sustainable growth that is appropriate not just to the letter, but to the spirit of our general plan. But at the same time, we must make sure we grow only to the rate that deals with the resulting impacts so that the character of Goleta is enhanced, not eroded. And Goletans made this clear last election by voting council members Kasdan and Richards, who both ran on better pacing the rate of growth. Since they were elected, no new large projects have been approved. Now about the look in stop, look, and listen. What do I mean by look? It means we need to look, actually, physically, literally, look at Goleta and make sure we like what we see. We need to work on the visual aspects of Goleta, protecting our environment, our ocean and mountain views, maintaining appropriate setbacks and landscaping, and generally making sure that our neighborhoods, public spaces, and thoroughfares are places we want to see. And by look, I also mean that we need to help keep our eyes on the future. We need to envision how we can leave Goleta better for those who will live here in the decades to come. This includes providing needed infrastructure, such as a permanent city hall and an upgraded community center. It includes preparing to prevent and respond to natural disasters, such as the recent fires, floods, and mudslides. It includes adopting sustainable practices to provide enough water, safeguard our crown jewels, such as the Elwood Preserve, and doing our part to address climate change. Finally, we have to listen. We need to listen better to each other, to staff, to our local businesses and workers, and to all our residents of all ages. As you may know, we recently formed a 7-member public engagement commission made up of a diverse group of Goletans. They are tasked with making recommendations on how to gain greater participation from our entire community. Not just a few advocacy groups, not just a few interest groups, but from everyone. So in the coming year, I'm going to stop, look, and listen, and I encourage us all to do the same. It's not just the safe way forward, it's the best way we can protect, preserve, and enhance all that is great about the good land. I hope you will join me and take the time to stop, look, and listen for an even better city of Goleta. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have come such a long way in promoting Goleta as a destination to our close neighbors in Southern California as well as the world. The Chamber is proud of our public-private partnership that includes funding from the Tourism Business Improvement District and the City of Goleta's TOT funds to create Go Goleta, our tourism marketing program. Revenues related to tourism, hospitality, and lodging are a major source of funding for the City of Goleta and an important economic driver in our region. The Chamber has been running a robust campaign to promote Goleta, and today we wanted to share two exciting updates with you: our new visitor's guide, which is on your table, and here's a look back at our most recent digital campaign. And now it's my pleasure to introduce our city manager for Goleta, Michelle Green.
Good afternoon. I'm pleased to present the city's financial outlook to you today. We're approaching the midpoint of the city's two-year budget and are in the process of adjusting our forecast to meet the city's needs over the coming fiscal year. Ensuring that the city has the resources to meet its obligations is critical. To do this, we look at past revenue trends, reserve funds, and other economic indicators to forecast the city's fiscal health. And today, the city's financial outlook remains positive, as over the past 16 years, its revenue has increased steadily. As you'll see in the following slides, our revenues have risen primarily due to an increase in transient occupancy, or TOT, sales tax, and property tax, which together make up 85% of the city's total revenues. TOT leads the top three at 36%, while sales tax and property tax come in at 25% and 24%, respectively. The following chart shows in dollars what the top three generators contribute to the city's revenue stream. TOT revenues were $8.6 million for fiscal year 16-17 and have climbed to a projected $9.2 million for the current fiscal year. This projection reflects an increase in TOT revenue due to the recent opening of the Marriott Resident Inn, the Hilton Garden Inn, and additionally, occupancy during December and January was up from last year, in part because of the Thomas Fire and the debris flow events. As a result, TOT revenue was 59% higher this January than prior year. And we're grateful for our Goleta hoteliers who were able to extend generous rates to our neighbors in need during this very difficult time. Sales tax experienced an increase as well, going from $6.5 million in fiscal year 16-17 to a projected $6.6 million by the end of the current fiscal year. Despite this growth in sales tax, the city remains conservative in its projections for future years, because we're still seeing the impacts of online sales on traditional brick and mortar retailers. And especially in last December, when you'll remember smoke and ash kept shoppers indoors and at home. A change in the retail landscape means shifts in sales tax allocations, and the city is carefully monitoring these fluctuations as it projects future revenues. Property tax is expected to increase slightly this year, rising to about $6.5 million, and this can be attributed in part to the increase in assessed valuations through recent sales transactions within the city limits. And I might also add, the property where we are today is included in that figure. It's critical for the city's fiscal stability that we maintain a balanced budget, a healthy contingency reserve, while also meeting the community's various needs. The city's budget is structurally balanced, with projected revenues for the current fiscal year at $25.7 million and projected expenditures at $24.8 million. In addition, the general fund is projected to close out the year with an unobligated fund balance of over $1.2 million. More importantly, though, the City Council's prudent reserve policies and careful planning have resulted in a healthy contingency reserve, which is projected to be over $8 million by the end of the current fiscal year. In addition to these positive revenue projections, a healthy reserve, and fund balance, there are other indicators which reflect a healthy local economy for those who live and work in Goleta. The unemployment rate is currently at 3.9%. And the Federal Reserve considers a base unemployment rate of 5 to 5.2% as full employment, so we're doing well there. In addition, Goleta's employment rate is the lowest of any city in Santa Barbara County. In the area of commercial real estate, Goleta has vacancy rates of 8.8% for office space, which is a sizable decrease from last year, 2.2% for retail space, which is about the same as last year, and 3.3% for industrial space. But the office market in 2018 so far has already seen the vacancy rate drop to 7.8%, with the recent leasing of a 60,000 square foot space, so that's exciting news. It's expected that this rate will probably come in about 5% in the second quarter, which is a level we haven't seen since 2006. So significant positive changes are happening. So as you leave today, I hope you'll remember this. The state of our city is very positive. Our city council and our great staff are closely monitoring revenues, expenditures, and critical economic indicators. We're working very hard to enhance our reserve funds so that we have the resources available to deliver the projects and serve our community better. And we really hope that you'll engage with us over the coming year as we work to make Goleta a better community. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. It's always great to see our finances looking good in the city of Goleta. It is now my great honor to introduce Peter Imhoff, Director of Planning and Environmental Review for the city of Goleta.
Thank you very much, Helly. I'd like to take a little bit more time today to embellish on some of what you've already heard from Mayor Perotti, give you some insights into what is happening in the Planning and Environmental Review Department, where we are going, and highlight some of our current work efforts. I'll then close by offering some thoughts more broadly on the role of city planning, especially at this particular point in time for the city of Goleta. Some of you may remember that about this time 2 years ago in June 2016, the city undertook to hire a consultant to assess the PER department's organizational structure, its operational functions, and staffing levels with the purpose of making recommendations for improvements to both department operations and interdepartmental collaboration. Following a selection process, CityGate Associates was brought in to perform this review, which it completed last June, shortly before I arrived in mid-August. The CityGate study included a number of specific recommendations for structural and process improvements. It recommended establishing a more direct link between the strategic plan and the department's day-to-day efforts. It promoted prioritizing the development of a permit tracking system. It encouraged better communication with our customers in the community. It advocated process and customer service improvements, especially for administrative reviews of such things as tenant improvements, relocations, and changes of use, to promote economic development and local business retention and expansion, especially in Old Town Goleta. It pushed us to rethink departmental structure and rebalance skill sets and position allocations to improve organizational efficiency. And for that purpose, it suggested developing an 18-month organizational transition plan to address the anticipated shift away from vacant land development toward infill Old Town development. It asked us to establish clear cycle time standards for the development review permitting process, and fundamentally, it sought greater transparency and accountability in all of our operations. So no small order. Here we are almost a year later. Where are we now? What has the Planning and Environmental Review Department done so far to address the CityGate study's recommendations, and what lies ahead? On March 5th, I shared my initial assessment of the department as called for by the CityGate study with our City Council. And in that assessment, I reviewed workload and staffing of the department and considered the most fundamental question raised by the CityGate study, whether and when to restructure the department. My initial assessment observed that the two major divisions of the department, the advanced planning and the current planning divisions, both face significant backlogs in one-time work. In advanced planning, there is a large backlog of ordinance work in particular. In the case of current planning, the backlog concerns process improvement work, especially finally getting in place our long-planned permit tracking system. The good news is that we're making significant progress on both fronts. The workloads in both divisions should diminish over time as we work through this backlog. However, we have a lot to do. The plan of attack for tackling this work backlog, with which the council agreed, is to take a back-to-basics approach. Specifically, my initial assessment recommended a series of discrete actions for us as a department to take. First, adopt an annual work program as a priority-setting mechanism and to help us pace our work. Second, adjust staffing between divisions as necessary to meet immediate needs. Third, maintain clear division of labor between the divisions. Fourth, rely on consultants and contract planners to take up slack as we work through the backlog. Five, shift consultant invoicing as much as possible to our finance department. And six, similarly transition developer deposits and billing to the finance department and shift to a regular billing cycle model. Finally, seven, on the question of whether to pursue a departmental reorganization, I recommended, and the council agreed, to delay considering reorganization for now until we have worked through the backlog and made substantial progress on existing work priorities. Recognizing that undertaking a reorganization would represent another commitment of staff time, we are just not equipped to tackle such an effort right now with our present backlog. In accordance with these recommended actions, the Council on March 5th also adopted the Department's first annual work program for next fiscal year, which affirms our intention to accomplish our existing commitments first before we take on major new work efforts. So, by division then, what are some of our major current work efforts? In the Advanced Planning Division, we have the development of several ordinances well underway. Our highest priority as a department is the new zoning ordinance for the City of Goleta. We have a busy schedule of workshops through the summer and into the fall, and we are targeting adoption in early 2019. The accessory dwelling unit ordinance is the lowest of our low-hanging fruit. Adoption is anticipated this June. The ordinance is drafted, and we will be returning through the Planning Commission and the Council in the next couple of months. Our cannabis ordinance responds to Prop 64 and new state law and is on a similar short time frame. The Planning and Environmental Review Department is handling the land use regulation component, and we are coordinating with our City Manager's Office and the Finance Department on the taxation and licensing components. Concerning oil and gas regulation, following the Venico bankruptcy, the state is moving forward with the plugging and abandonment of Platform Holly and has taken operational responsibility through its contractor, Beacon West, for the Elwood Onshore facility, which needs to remain up and running until Platform Holly is fully abandoned. Other big issues in advanced planning include our work related to the Elwood Mesa. As Mayor Perotti shared, we have a monarch butterfly habitat management plan, which is now ready in draft form and which we will be bringing to Council as promised in the near future. It will create a framework for the long-term management of this tremendous open space resource and address the intractable problem of numerous dead and dying eucalyptus trees on Elwood Mesa. Dead trees pose hazards to the public and neighboring property owners at the same time as they threaten sensitive habitat and one of the City of Goleta's most beloved symbols, the monarch butterfly. In the current Planning Division, in addition to a steady workload of permit processing, we have several critical processes and process improvement efforts underway. Our long-planned permit tracking system is now under construction and will be a game changer on many fronts. It will help us to regulate our permitting process, impose timeframes, coordinate better between departments, manage our permit fees, and allow better data access. For example, it will provide an online portal for public access both to permits in process and to historical permit records anywhere in the city. For the past several years, we have been digitizing historical records, including those we inherited from the county, which will now be available digitally. Major accomplishments in current planning over the last year include the completion of the two new hotels, the Hilton Garden Inn and the Marriott Residences, and on the near-term horizon, we can expect to see full build-out of Cabrillo Business Park, completion of the Village at Los Carneros, and we also anticipate a number of other projects, such as the Heritage Ridge project on Los Carneros, moving into the hearing process. In our sustainability program, we anticipate acquisition of streetlights from Southern California Edison and their conversion to LED later this year in coordination with our Public Works Department. In concert with Santa Barbara County and the South Coast jurisdictions, we are studying the possibility of community choice aggregation. We are also collaborating with the county and other South Coast jurisdictions, as well as local businesses and the environmental community, on responses to Southern California Edison's recent request for proposals for distributed energy resources as a way to address energy reliability and sustainability on the South Coast. These efforts will all be part of a plan under development now for how the city can meet the 100% sustainable energy goals adopted by the City Council last December. Now I'd like to take a step back and wrap up with some broader thoughts and reflections on the role of city planning more generally for our city. City planning is at the fulcrum of individual and collective interests. At first, that might appear to be an either-or proposition, a zero-sum game, but it is not, if correctly balanced. The regulation of individual property benefits the collective interests of the community by ensuring that development conforms to community standards. But the success of the planning of the community as a whole also benefits individuals, businesses, workers, residents, and property owners. That maybe sounds a little abstract, but more concretely, if the city is careful in its planning in assuring that development proposals by individual property owners fit a larger overall plan, then the city is more beautiful, harmonious, sustainable, a more desirable location for residents and businesses. If a city is careful in stating and realizing its vision for the future and succeeds at the collective level, this success also benefits individual interests. It sets up a positive feedback loop, a virtuous cycle, where, in addition to the regulation of private development, the city's care in its own planning, in its urban design and the management of its public spaces, parks, streets, bike and walking paths, habitat and open spaces, all add to the amenities at residents' and workers' disposal, enhance quality of life and people's experience of the city, which in turn influences location decisions to retain existing and attract new business and residents, thereby boosting property values and contributing to the economic vitality of the jurisdiction and its desirability as a place to live and work. Do we have challenges ahead? Yes, without question. We face increased state intervention in local affairs and the erosion of local planning autonomy. We must find new ways to accommodate growth sustainably and in ways that protect community character, growth that is in many ways forced upon us, both by state regulation and by economic forces. We can and will face these challenges, and through thoughtful dialogue and careful deliberation, find solutions. Planning begins with vision, with our vision for the city. We, the residents of the city, determine this vision and its future. In our strategic and general plan, we have a clearly articulated vision. The transformation of the Planning and Environmental Review Department is now underway, and the planning future of the City of Goleta is bright. I look forward to working with our mayor and council, our city manager, and all of you over the coming years to realize that vision and our future as a city. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. My name is Kirsten McLaughlin, and I am the Market Vice President for Cox Communications and a proud member of the Goleta Chamber Board. How about another big round of applause for all of our speakers today and the wonderful information? Thank you all. Our founder, Governor James M. Cox of Ohio, once said, "Ask yourself one question, is it right? Then do what you believe is right for your town, your state, and your community." Today, as a family-owned and operated business with the fourth generation at the helm, those words continue to be at the core of our values at Cox Communications, and our employees live and breathe them every day. Those values were especially on stage over the last several months with everything this community faced. We were so proud to be a part of all of the rebuilding and recovery of all of our communities, from Carpinteria to Goleta. From restoring our infrastructure, to supporting our first responders and our local assistance centers, to our new work, working with local businesses and organizations to help drive visitors from other Cox markets to Santa Barbara, getting the word out that business is open, come here and spend your money. Come spend your money. And that we're all here to visit Santa Barbara, visit Goleta, come and play. As you all have heard me say, Cox is deeply dedicated to investing in the communities we serve. That investment takes two forms: investing in the organizations and institutions that help our communities thrive, our schools, our businesses, our nonprofit organizations, including, of course, the Chamber, and investing in the infrastructure and technology that makes all of our services come to life. In a world where technology is changing so quickly, we're aggressively investing in the technology and network infrastructure to bring you the very best products and services to enable your smart homes, smart businesses, and smart cities of both today and in the future. In fact, we're in the early stages of the city's permit process, which you just heard a lot about, for a project to upgrade our critical facilities right here in the city of Goleta. This project will enable us to enhance our existing network and build the network that will power this community for decades to come. We're so proud to be a part of this community and all of your success. And one reminder before I close and let you go off to your weekend, The city has filmed today's event, and it will be available to watch on City Channel 19 on Cox. And thank you all for joining us today. Have a wonderful weekend.